Testivity Audio Course, Module 22, Disability Income Insurance.
Disability income insurance can solve the financial problem presented by disability. This type of health insurance provides monthly income benefits if the insured becomes unable to work and earn a living because of sickness or injury. There are some logical restrictions placed on disability income insurance to discourage malingering, which is faking illness or disability, to collect insurance benefits. Insurers impose strict controls on the amount of disability income a person can receive. Generally, an insurer will restrict the amount of disability income benefit to something less than 100% of the insured's gross income. Since the benefit paid from any policy on which the insured pays the premium is not taxed, insuring one's net income, or after-tax income, is sufficient. Policy limits seldom exceed 70% of your gross income, since to allow more may violate the principle of indemnity. Elimination period. The elimination period, also called the waiting period, is the amount of time that must elapse after a disability begins before the payment begins. Conceptually, the elimination period is similar to a deductible in other policies. The purpose in both cases is to keep claims, and thus premiums, at a minimum by requiring the insured to absorb relatively minor claims. Benefit period. Disability income policies contain a provision that spells out the length of time benefits will be paid. While almost any benefit period is available, it is most common that benefits are payable until the insured reaches age 65. Short-term policies are defined as having benefit period of less than 2 years, while a long-term policy has a minimum benefit period of 2 years. It is common for an insured to have two disability income policies, one short-term and one long-term. The short-term disability will typically have a waiting period of 7 days before coverage begins and pay the insured up to 13, 26, or 52 weeks. The long-term disability policy is designed to take over when short-term benefits end and to continue benefit payments for a specified period of years, to age 65 or for life. A typical disability income policy will pay benefits when the insured becomes totally disabled. As the name implies, total disability is the inability to perform the duties of one's occupation. There are two definitions of total disability. One is less restrictive than the other, and accordingly, is more expensive. The policy's definition of disability is very important. An any occupation policy defines total disability as the inability of the insured to perform any duties of any gainful employment for which he or she is suited by way of education, training, or experience. With this definition, a person must be so disabled that he or she cannot engage in any employment which they might reasonably be expected to perform. The second, less restrictive definition of disability is known as own occupation. An own occupation policy defines total disability as the inability to perform any duties of one's own occupation. It's easy to see how this is less restrictive to the policy owner than the any occupation definition. Let's assume a dentist buys a policy and subsequently loses a hand. The dentist will never again be able to perform his own occupation, but he could easily be expected to take on any number of other occupations. With an own occupation policy, benefits would be payable, and any occupation policy would not provide benefits in this case. It's common for policies to combine these concepts and define a total disability as the inability to perform one's own job for the first 2 years after onset of the sickness or injury, and any job for which you are reasonably suited by education, training, or experience thereafter. Various other definitions of disability include partial, residual, recurrent, presumptive, and confining. Partial disability. The recovery from many disabilities is such that a person may enter a period of partial disability before they fully recover. During this period, the person may be able to return to work on a limited basis. A policy with a partial disability provision will pay reduced benefits to the insured during this period. Partial benefits are typically limited to a brief period of time to discourage malingering. While it's more typical for a partial disability to follow a total disability, it's not uncommon for partial disability benefits to be paid at the onset of the disability. Residual disability. With residual disability provisions, benefits are tied to the proportion of earnings lost while the insured is disabled. Unlike the partial disability provision, which pays if the insured can only work limited hours, the residual benefit amount is based on the percentage of pre-disability income the insured is not receiving. Let's assume an insured is able to return to work full-time, but in a lessened capacity, earning only 60% of his or her pre-disability income. Under the residual disability provision, the policy might pay 40% of the total disability benefit, since the policy owner's earnings have diminished by 40%. The objective of the residual benefit is to encourage people to return to work, even on a partial basis, without fear they are going to lose income. An important feature of residual benefits is that the policy owner can return to work in any occupation, even a low-paying job, without losing all disability income benefits. Recurrent disability. It is not uncommon for a disability to recur after the policy owner has seemingly recovered. If a disabled individual returns to work and within a certain number of days suffers a relapse, it will be considered a continuation of the original disability and a new elimination period will not be imposed. Presumptive disability. In most cases, disability income benefits are payable only as long as the insured is under the care of a physician. It is common for an insurer to require any disabled insured to provide a physician's statement regularly supporting the continued disability. There are some situations, however, in which the insured is presumed to be totally disabled by the nature of the disability. Examples of presumptive disability include loss of hearing, sight, speech, or the use of any two limbs. In such cases, the insured is not required to provide continuing proof of the disability. A disability income policy may distinguish between a confining and a non-confining disability. A confining policy requires confinement of the insured in a hospital or other facility to receive benefits. Most policies are non-confining. If the insured meets the policy's definition of disabled, there are no confinement requirements. Disability income policies have varying definitions of accident. A policy with an accidental means clause will cover accidents only if the cause was unintentional. This can be a very restrictive clause. For example, you are riding on a bus that is pulling up to a curb and has not come to a complete stop. You elect to jump from the bus and break your leg. Since you intended to jump, if you owned a policy with an accidental means clause, you would not be covered. However, had you slipped and fallen off the bus, the act that led to your injury would have been unintentional and you would be covered. Most policies contain an accidental bodily injury clause, which is less restrictive. Any injury that is the result of an accident is covered, even if what led to the injury was intentional. Disability income riders. Waiver of premium rider. When a disability does occur, the policy owner must keep the policy in force. The waiver of premium rider exempts the policy owner from having to make premium payments while he or she is disabled. Without this rider in effect, if the insured ceased making premium payments while disabled, he or she would receive benefit payments while disabled, but the policy would terminate when the disability ended. This rider specifies that premiums will be waived retroactively to the beginning of the disability if the disability lasts more than 6 consecutive months. Inflation protection rider. Due to inflation, the purchasing power of fixed disability income benefits may be diminished over time. If this rider is added, the insured's monthly benefit will be automatically increased during inflationary periods. Increases are usually tied to the consumer price index. Accidental death and dismemberment rider. As we discussed earlier, AD&D covers accidents only. Sickness is not covered. This coverage is often written as a rider on a life insurance policy. The rider will pay a specific sum if death is the result of an accident or if the insured becomes dismembered. Business uses of disability income insurance. The most common type of business use policy is the business overhead expense policy. This policy pays normal rent, utilities, employee salaries, and other business expenses incurred while the business is closed or operating at a lessened capacity due to the disability of the owner. This policy will not pay the salary of the business owner, but will cover salaries of employees. A key person disability income policy provides a company with funds to offset lost income while a key employee is disabled. A disability buyout policy, similar to a life insurance buy-sell agreement, is used to assist partners in buying out the interest of a disabled partner. These policies are usually written with long elimination periods. Rarely will a disabled owner want to be bought out until it is clear that he or she will not be returning to work. Credit disability policies protect debtors and creditors alike by paying an amount equal to the loan payment while the debtor is disabled. A creditor must have a minimum of 100 new debtors per year before they qualify for group credit insurance.